It's Charlotte Soccer Show, John Hayes, Danny Brams. It's great to see you, Danny, after another win on the show. Pleasure to see you.
6 out of 6, baby. We're on the way to 12 out of 12. And to get there, for Charlotte FC to get its first road win, it took a little bit of magic.
He was the architect of a lot of our forward play.
They lead Adjuman closer towards goal here.
You know, the way they played, I'm glad I started with Patrick up front because they played really deep to stop Patrick's deep runs.
And Pepe out across goal, and again! 8 goal contributions in 8 games for Pepe.
It created a lot of space inside the pitch for Pep to play.
What a snap finish to find that far corner.
You know, I thought he took his goal really well.
You said he was magic, Danny, and he was that on Saturday night, not just here in the United States, but in Canada as well. Forget about being the magician of Mecklenburg.
Right, the magician of Montreal,
yeah. Sent him up north of the border, and he gets things done. Pep Bial with the game-winning goal. It's 1-0. It's a Charlotte FC win on the road. It's exciting to talk about a win because, to your point, it's 6 out of 6. 6 points out of 6 points. A home game against San Diego Saturday night at the Fortress, something that I'm looking forward to. Obviously, San Diego, their inaugural season in MLS, we've been there. We've done that.
And now it's crushing. San Diego's time. Yeah, they must have learned from our mistakes, Johnny, because they're crushing it out there out west. Yeah.
Well, yes, it's early in the season, and I think that they're going to hit a bit of a roadblock when they get to the
hopefully Queens starting this weekend. Yeah, exactly.
I've got Charlotte winning this weekend for sure, but we can get to that conversation later in the show, because what we want to do is dive into this win and specifically the grittiness of it, Danny. This was in my mind, a 2024 win in the 2025 season. Dean Smith's tactics were very, very similar to what we saw in his first season, and I think that was a good idea to go out and use that on the road to get the team's first road victory of the season.
Yeah, and for me, Johnny, this win is sort of like the beauty of soccer, right? This is like, these are the type of things we'll hear Dean Smith at some point, I think, say, we did hear him say that, a 1-0 win on the road. He said, I like a 1-0 on the road. It just shows loads and loads of character. And for me, it's about, you know, the joy, the relief, the hope that this inspired, all of it, kind of the cocktail of emotion that like stirs up when you watch like an intense soccer match, end-to-end stuff, lots of chances in the second half, ended up 1-0, but certainly
lots of chances for Montreal in the second half.
Charlotte had their chances too. Charlotte did have their chances too. Abada had a couple nice chances. I think Montreal's were certainly bigger, and Kalina did come up huge, but Sirwa came up as well. But again, it was action-packed but gritty. There was the moment of magic from Pep. We're going to look at it all, Johnny. And I think we start with Pep. I think we start with Pep's goal. I was at Dom's Dive Bar watching this with the, you know, we were watching the Magician of Mecklenburg in Montreal at Dom's with a good crew from the Charlotte FC Reddit Discord, and when this happened, it was nuts because Patrick Adjuman got free and he's done the hold up play just like Callum Wilson predicted when he joined us this weekend to preview this match, excuse me. And then Liel with the great pass. Pep looked like he wanted to cross it back to Patrick there, got the second bite of the apple, as they say, and whipped one in with the left first time touch. Johnny, how did you experience this goal? Because we went nuts at Dom's Dive Bar.
It was the all-important first goal of the match. And if you know soccer, and I think you do, Danny, and a lot of our viewers and a lot of our listeners do as well, the odds of taking away 3 points when you score first are very high. And this goal to me, especially in the first 20 minutes of the match, knowing that Charlotte FC is a good defensive team, knowing that Charlotte has arguably the best goalkeeper in the league, when Pep Bial used that left foot and curled one home in that left bottom corner, when that goes in, the belief to get 3 points becomes real. Until this point, Danny, Charlotte FC, no wins on the road, no points on the road.
No, we got the Seattle.
We didn't get the Seattle. Yeah, we got the Seattle. There's a draw against Seattle. There's a draw against Seattle. There's points on the road.
Yeah.
But when this goal goes in, and remember, Seattle scored first. Right.
Yeah. We probably didn't deserve Seattle.
Yeah. for me specifically, when I'm thinking about this goal from Pepiao, what it did is it set up Charlotte FC to win the match. And that's why this goal is so important, because this goal is the reason why Charlotte FC could win four matches in a row, could win three matches in a row. Let's not kick the can all the way down the road to New England. But this goal right here is why Charlotte FC has a chance to win three matches in a row, and is the reason why Charlotte FC is top of the East, Danny.
Yeah, we're top of the East. I think we were top of the East for about 24 hours till Columbus jumped us on Sunday, thankfully. But yeah. Well, we will look at the standing shortly as we dare to dream. Talking about this goal just a little bit more, I agree. You notice that it's early. You look up the clock, it's the 16th minute. It's nice to just take that early lead. It does affect your tactics that you want to play, and it reinforces the tactics that Dino had approached this match with, as we'll hear him talk about momentarily. But it's also a great bit of evidence of Pet and Pat.
What happened here with the director? What happened in this video here? I'm going to try to... Did you notice this the poor directing that happened
here? Make sure you subscribe. But what happened was this big blue... So the camera shots, there's someone in blue. There's someone with like a blue vest or something on standing right in front of the camera. And they stayed with it for an extra like two or three beats too long, I think, for sure, before cutting.
For what it's worth, Danny and I both have worked in television. So when we see something like this, we got to call it out like, oof.
Yeah, is that like animation wipe or whatever? Yeah, someone in bright Montreal blue like got their ugly self in front of the camera there for a blur. But nice sellies. You love this. But it's Pep and Pat in the pockets, Johnny. And let's hear, you know, like as I alluded to, Callum Williams like was talking about how Patrick Ajimong has never made Dean mad by not scoring a goal as long as he's doing other things like that. And you see the footwork, you see the holdup, you see the feed out to Liel. Great pass from Liel. You know, I think Patrick might have got himself a goal there. That looks like a pretty good cross coming off Pep's foot, hit the defender, and Pep just does the right thing there.
Can I go on the record with something here?
Please.
The whole Patrick Ajimong or Edan Toklamadi debate is probably the biggest reach and the most laughable topic so far this season. We'll have the conversation and we're impressed by Edan Toklamadi, but I promise you this. The facade that Dean Smith's putting on in those press conferences, oh, we've got a competition at the striker position. Oh, this is Ashley Westwood as well. Said the same thing, Danny. It's a load of crap.
Well, here's what Dean said about Patrick and in alluding to that battle that you mentioned right after the match.
I think it's a great challenge that we've got, and I'm really pleased that we've got it. I thought Patrick was good today. I thought he made them play really deep, which opened up lots of spaces for Pep Bielin, as I talked about earlier, in midfield, and our wide players to come inside as well. So it's a great challenge and one that we want.
Doesn't sound like he's moving on from Ajimong anytime soon.
Well, it's just so obvious that Edan's strong play is being used to motivate Patrick Ajimong, who is by far the player that's further along, that is prepared to start every single match for this club, who has started and played for the United States men's national team as striker. Patrick Ajimong is this team's number 9, and he will start on Saturday night against San Diego. And it's not a competition.
Yeah, and it's nothing to worry about. And Pep and Pat in the pockets continues to be a beautiful thing. The other thing, Johnny, about this is there were chances. There were chances, and maybe you're not thinking of the chances, but I'll tell you who knows every single chance that Charlotte got for sure, and it's Dino. And it made me think, so I'm going to play a soundbite here in a second, but to set this up, I just want to say that I know you played some golf. You got out of town and played some golf this weekend. Obviously, the whole world was watching golf, the great Rory McIlroy. Bringing home the Masters was absolutely just one of the great sporting events that we've seen in recent times. I hope everybody had a nice, comfortable seat to watch that. But I grew up playing golf. You grew up playing golf, Johnny. And I also grew up caddying for my dad. My dad's a great golfer. Shout out to my dad. And I used to caddy for him. And we on the drives home, he would just rattle off his rounds. He'd be like, you know, I had the ball over here on there. You know, I was in the fairway on 5, and then I was long on 6, and then, you know, 3-putted 7, you know, great chip on 8. You know, like, the way he can, like, rattle off stuff like that. And it's a very common thing you hear at golf course like this. So I thought Dean sounded like a golfer as he sort of rattled off some of these missed chances here.
I thought Patrick has made some really good runs. You know, he's on his left foot, and he's put one into the side netting. He's hit the target on one. The keeper's got a hand to it and just pushed it wide. You know, Leal's had the one where the keeper saved it as well. Yeah, we always work on trying to hit the target more, but you know, you have to look at the value of the chance that we create at that time.
I think he's happy with the 1-0, John.
Well, of course he is, because that's what he's set up for. Like that was the goal. And yeah, when he's talking about those chances and the value of chances, the reason why Charlotte FC's chances were so obvious and potentially big chances is because they were playing on the counter. Is that when Charlotte FC did have chances in that second half, they were playing on the counter. There was a lot of open space. There was good movement. Mm-hmm. And there was a chance to score quick. On the other side of that was Montreal, who had a ton of possession in the Charlotte FC final third, who had way more attempts in that second half, who had the threat to equalize. And definitely. And that's when you set up like that, when you set up to protect yourself in a low block and hit on the counter, that's where Leal Abada can shine, and that's why he had a good match. That's where Patrick Adjamon can shine. That's where he had a good match. And it shows a little bit of tactical flexibility for sure.
Yeah, and that's where we get into the grittiness of it, John, because I think, as we've both kind of hinted here, and it was basically actually just straight up said, this was very intentional, these tactics by Dean Smith, the way he set up, the way he didn't really have fear Montreal. You'll hear, I'm going to play a little bit of a longer rip of sound here just from Dino. He's responding to a couple different questions. But you can see, not that you'd ever disrespect your opponent, but Dino really wanted to sort of just let Montreal do their thing, because he wasn't really worried about what their thing was, just to be perfectly honest.
I know that they're a footballing team. They want to play out from the back. So I was more than prepared for their back three or back four to have the ball. I mean, for the majority of the game, their playmakers became one of their centre-halves, or, you know, Piette dropping into the back three at times. And, you know, so I was quite happy that they became their playmakers and we had bodies in and around their players whenever it came near our penalty box. So I just felt we needed to be, our distances needed to be really good without the ball. And I always thought they would be open when we won the ball, and that proved the case. We felt that they're a team that would have a lot of possession in the game. If you remember, we beat them 2-0 at our place last year. And, you know, I think I said their three centre-backs had 300 passes between them. I'm okay if a team does that. You know, I don't want to just have possession for possession's sake. There's many different ways of winning football games, as we've proven tonight.
As a former centre-back, Dean really loves to shit on centre-backs.
Well, he knows when he sees poor centre-back play. That's like one thing that he sees for sure. That if he sees centre-backs just passing the ball back and forth, he's like, what are you doing? Like, just launch it forward. You're not helping the team in any way, shape, or form. And I do disagree with him a little bit, though.
When he says their playmakers became one with their centre halves, that's just like, that is shade, man. That is like serious shade, I think.
Oh yeah, I mean, like, it's a good call out, because if you don't realize, I'm not speaking about you, I'm talking about the listeners, the viewers. Like, if you don't realize by now that Dean Smith talks shit in his press conferences, listen a little bit closer, because he does. He just does it in a very English way, where he'll criticize people, and the referees, we know, he'll go straight after them, but he'll criticize other players and other managers by saying things that in a British way that maybe the American audience doesn't really understand or can't call out as easily as an American culture, where you call somebody out, it's pretty obvious. It's just so interesting to hear him talk about, though, winning in different ways, right? And I think, like, you could get in the weeds and you can have like a tactical discussion. You could say, you know, he set up as a 4-2-3-1. Which was a really nice way to set yourself up on the road. Patrick has the tip of the spear in a 4-2-3-1 is just so freaking good in that role. And the tactical flexibility, Danny, is so important, and the grittiness of it. Although all of that potentially was ruined. I mean, Adilson Milanda, who was a very highly rated player. He was somebody who made the all-French 11 from the weekend.
He was man of the match, you know.
Man of the match. He is as gritty as it gets, Danny. But Milan's been a topic on this show. You brought this to the table about 3 weeks ago about is Adilson Milanda on the downturn? So based on the man of the match, based on, for what it's worth, Milanda being the man of the match, is that, that's real? He was the man of the match?
Of course. Yeah, he was honored as the man of the match by the team. Yeah, by their social media posts. Yeah.
Well, let me put it this way. I thought it was very close to a penalty that he conceded. I thought that it was a very, very interesting decision, a very, I'm going to call it a good decision, by the referee to not award a penalty late in this match. But Milanda was walking a very, very fine line. And sometimes, Danny, when you're a center back, you have to walk a fine line. But while you've got this graphic up, let's just talk about how cool it is to see the Charlotte FC logo there with the likes of Real Madrid, Juventus, AC Milan, some big-time clubs, Danny.
It is pretty damn cool. And, you know, we're not trying to slag on Milanda at all. We all want the best for Adilson Milanda. I think it's cool. That's great for him to win Man of the Match honors. And there's certainly things he did in terms of, like, stats and number of clearances and things like that that were good. I agree with you, Johnny, that he had some moments that he did not shine. And so that's why I'm a little surprised to see this graphic. But, I mean, it is pretty amazing. You know, this is what it is. If you're watching on YouTube and you haven't quite figured it out, or if you're listening and you can't see the graphic, It's an all French 11. So it's all, you know, French national players playing in any league around the world that were the best of their position for the weekend. And Milanda's sharing a backline with Teo Hernandez from AC Milan and Kalulu from Juventus. And then, as you said, Camavinga from Real Madrid is there in the center mid. This would be a pretty formidable, une équipe formidable, as they would say in France, in a much better accent than I just shared there. But
I can't wait to hear what our friend Matt Geslin thinks about that.
no doubt. But, you know, Ale Milanda for sure. But as you said, the penalty tackle was saved by offside call that helped. And as I call up a few other little low lights, I would just say, you know, a couple of Montreal's chances that I was able to pull from the official MLS highlights, so we don't get kicked off here. But I would show the penalty, but it didn't make the package. But you know, there's a spot where a shot that go, you know, Milanda can't block a shot from close range. We're lucky to see it go wide. And here's a spot where he gets burned on sort of a double move by Prince Owusu. And, you know, that, you know, we're lucky that shot went wide on the near post. Because, I mean, if you watch this play, like, look at Milanda, you know, like, again, I don't want to hyper fix it on just a couple tiny instances, but he makes a really bad play and gets burned there. Like, and it's just so strange for me to see him being, you know, man of the match.
And the man of the match was Christian Kolina, Danny, wasn't it?
Yeah, man of the match was Christian Kolina. Thank you. That's where we need to be with this, because Kolina did some insane stuff to bail out defenders who made mistakes, and he probably would have saved the penalty if it had held up. So
he's good at that.
You tell me, but I think Kolina saved the three points late, and you know, we can see some of his big saves. Again, there's, you know, there's guys running behind. Dean talks about how, you know, he was never worried. He was glad. We do have bodies near their guys in the box, but our bodies weren't doing much. That, you know, the one we just saw there is a spot where I feel like Milanda kind of let a shot off when he didn't have to. And then here, it's not necessarily him, but, you know, Dumbia and Privet kind of get burned by a runner going through, and Kolina has to make a big paw out there just to, you know, I think that was headed far post. So Kolina is my man of the match. It wasn't even close. I was shocked that he wasn't officially recognized as such, but that's just the life and the plight of a goalkeeper. You know, you're the best goalkeeper in the league. People just start to expect this stuff, Johnny.
It's an absolute pleasure. I feel incredibly lucky to support a team with a guy like Christian Kolina in net. And it's not lost on me that Christian Kolina was part of the inaugural launch for Charlotte FC. Somebody who struggled to acclimate to this league because he was being asked to do things that he wasn't very good at. Miguel Angel Ramirez and Christian Latanzio really asked Christian Kolina to use his feet to build from the back, and Christian Kolina just couldn't get that job done. And I don't think that at this point, you know, I look back and I think about what Christian Kolina was doing then. If we had a manager, if Charlotte FC had a manager that prioritized building from the back, Danny, and a goalkeeper using his feet, Christian Kolina wouldn't be the best keeper in MLS.
Right.
But the reason why Dean Smith is such a good manager is because he puts his players in positions to have success. And he knows what Christian Kalina's strengths are. And Christian Kolina is the best shot stopper in MLS. His quick twitch reflexes, exactly right. Dino has put Christian Kolina in the position to be the best goalkeeper in MLS. And I am just incredibly thankful to be a Charlotte FC supporter, to be able to see Christian Kolina at his best. And when I think about, and I have thought about this, Charlotte FC winning a trophy this season, whether it be the Supporters Shield, MLS Cup, US Open Cup, Leagues Cup. Remember, there's three competitions for this club this year. I want to see Christian Kolina lifting the trophy. Like, that's what I want to see. That's who deserves to lift the trophy. I know we could have a conversation about the captain and Ashley Westwood doing it, but this is, and I'm putting it on the record right now, Danny. I want you to know this. This is Christian Kolina's club. This is Christian Kolina's team.
Hell yeah, we can challenge for a league title.
It's not Bronico's team? No. Great speech, Johnny. That is a beautiful, beautifully said tribute and an ode to Christian Kolina and everything he brings to this team. And I love it. That was a pleasure just to listen to. I appreciate that. Thank you. That's why I do this show, so I can hear you say beautiful things like that. I'm going to bring up the match ratings graphic now just to look at 7.4 from Kolina. Milano with the 7.9. I mean, it's got to be just like, you know, stats that carried him through there. I mean, we showcased a couple spots where we thought he was weak, but
he had a good game. Let's not dog on him, Brands. Let's say it like this. He was, I said it earlier, like he was walking a very fine line.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And
he walked. He did walk.
Yes, like he did toe the line, and he got the 7.9. But that could have been a 6.9 pretty quickly.
That's the right way to think about it for sure. You also, Johnny, when we were talking about this a little bit before the show, you shouted out Eric Williamson. He comes in just in a few minutes, you know. But there was 5 minute stoppage time, I think. So he played about 10 minutes of a good shift. Got a 7. Made a few nice plays just to secure the points.
Yes, I mean, it was just great to see him on the pitch. Right.
Mm-hmm.
To come on and make an impact. And I thought that he was comfortable on the ball. I thought he looked quick. I thought that it reminded me that Eric Williamson is on the squad and he can play a significant role this year. Like, that's what this appearance did for me.
Yeah. And I love to see it. I think, you know, it's nice to have him as an option or Deani, you know, to come in and fill that spot,
yeah,
depending on what you need. I think this one called for Williamson's sort of steady touch. Tiger and Don came in together and nearly connected for a goal right out the gate. That was nice to see. Dean shouted out all the subs and said all the subs did well. Dumbia had some nice play, just sort of advancing the ball forward out of defense, you know, to sort of get release pressure valves and whatnot. Tim Ream, we should mention, you know, the Tim Ream, this is not about his rating, but just about the fact that he did leave and he left the match and was treated. He was coughing up some blood and he was sent to the hospital. Someone said that it was reported somewhere that when he chested the ball down to Kolina on a long ball that was into the box,
it was scary.
That had sort of done something to his rib that caused some blood to come up. So, but he went to the hospital. He was checked out. He supposedly is okay. We don't know really any more reporting other than that. But he did travel home with the team, so that's good. So.
Yeah, it's a great update, and it's good to hear because I've watched a lot of sporting events. I've watched a lot of soccer. You could tell that the way Kolina was receiving treatment, that something was wrong. Like it didn't look normal. So I was concerned, and to be honest, I was a little bit concerned about the fullbacks before that injury happened. The fact that Dumbia has been signed and is now a part of this club, thank goodness that Zoran Crneta got Dumbia in here, because this team needs help at the fullback position, especially when an injury like this pops up. And I'm gonna utter a phrase here, Danny. That
utter it.
I know it's only April 15th. But, I mean, it is tax day. So let's talk cash, right? Summer window. I'm thinking about it already. And if you could put that lineup back up, that graphic, right? What I want to explain here is this is what a championship team looks like on paper. But there's a need for fullbacks in the summer. Nathan Byrne and Tim Ream, Suleiman Dumbia, that's the weak link of this team. That is it. It's as simple as that. And I'm not dogging anybody here, but that fullback position, if we can upgrade or at least get some more depth to create that competition this summer, who knows what could happen in the fall. But I'm already identifying that as an area that Charlotte FC needs to improve.
Yeah, and I think it's just the depth of them. It's not necessarily a dog on any of those three guys. Like you said, it's just the fact that it's only those three guys. You know, Micah Thomas, not really sure that he's going to be totally ready. Maybe he is, you know, after getting some legacy minutes. Maybe he's ready for the second half of the season. He was okay in training camp. But right. I'm going to remove this graphic, John. I'm going to hit you with another graphic, league table. And when you talk about summer signings, this is the graphic that gets me excited about some summer signings because you see Charlotte FC – contending third place in the league right now. Miami could jump with their game in hand, potentially. So Charlotte FC easily a top 3-4 team, 16 points tied with Cincinnati, slightly, you know, the same goal differential as Columbus, much better goal differential than Cincinnati. Vancouver, sort of the surprise of the league, just absolutely crushing. Who knows how long they can keep this up. They're also, Vancouver's also into the semifinals of CONCACAF Champions Cup. So what an absolute banner year happening for the Whitecaps. We do love to see that. We'll see you in the MLS Cup final, Whitecaps, I guess. But
what makes MLS so unique, Danny?
We put the league table up because we want the supporter shield. It's not about the East right now, right?
That's correct. That's absolutely correct. And that's the point I was going to make, is that what makes MLS so unique is that Charlotte and Vancouver are fighting for the same prize this season. And Vancouver might as well be on Mars compared to where Charlotte is. And I'm not even sure if Charlotte and Vancouver are playing this season. I don't think they are.
No, they played last year.
So think about that. That's how strange this league is. Like, Vancouver is a team that Charlotte FC is competing with right now to win the title, and they'll never see each other or be in the same city this year. It's pretty crazy the way this league is set up that way.
Well, they can come visit us, like we said, for the MLS Cup final, or you know, maybe I haven't checked.
That's a whole that's a different conversation, of course, right? There could be an MLS final situation, but I'm talking about supporter shield. You've got two teams in Charlotte and Vancouver who right now are fighting for the top place in the league, who will never see each other this season.
In this competition, we will not play them. Yeah, exactly. It's impossible. And this is a separate competition. As the way Dean Smith certainly thinks of it, like he's iterated multiple times. So yeah, it is a little dicey. Hopefully it'd be funny if they just kept winning and just never stopped winning. They're a pretty good team. If you watched them play this year, Brian White is absolutely crushing it. Other spots on the table, you know, San Diego, our next opponent, surprising a lot of folks. They're, you know, 15, they have 15 goals for, 9 against. They're not surrendering many goals. They got 14 points. They're just a tick behind Charlotte in the standings. They're having a great expansion season. They have some guys that are really, really good. Anders Dreyer is just absolutely crushing it, who came over from, I believe, the Belgian league. But the other thing about this graphic is, I know you're really focused on the whole 12 out of 12 mission, John, that we identified, you know, 2 games ago. But after the 12 of 12, after we play San Diego and then New England on 2 home games, we go on a 3-match road swing that includes 2 other teams on this graphic, who are Columbus and Orlando. So there's a trip to Columbus coming up very soon at the very top of those standings. Orlando is a road match that looms, and their team that, you know, if you look at their form, they haven't lost in 5 matches. So it doesn't get any easier for Charlotte FC, basically.
Well, you just outlined why I called out the 12 of 12. It wasn't just about the 4 matches to get the 12 points. It was also about the fact that after these 4 matches, Charlotte FC has to go on the road where they don't have success. So getting these 12 points, 3 matches at home and playing the worst team in the league on the road, that's why I said, hey, like we could beat Montreal. We could get 12 points. Like, banking those 12 points before you head out on the road where you might suffer a little bit, you might struggle, find a draw, maybe lose. Like, those 12 points give you a little buffer to continue in the fight, to continue at the top of the table. And that's why this is so important. You can't just think, and I know Dino's thinking week to week. I know he is. Believe it's us, Dino. We got you. We're thinking big picture here. We're thinking about four-game chunks. We're thinking about how this campaign can look throughout the entire season. I know that you're thinking week to week, but we've got your back. We're thinking big picture for you.
Yep, and we talk about big picture. We talk about potential. One guy, Andrew Privet, did speak to that briefly after the match. I just want to play a quick bite from him to see, get a little peek into a player's mindset of what they're seeing when they look at the big picture right now.
Doing the basics well, staying organized, talking, competing, and week in, week out, not dropping our level. How well can we do, and can we keep the highest standard possible and keep growing both individually and as a collective group?
Player speak. Sounds like a coach out there.
Well, I mean, I think Andrew Privet could be a coach someday.
Yeah.
I do think. I mean, think about it. Like, he's getting tutored by Dean Smith, who was a center back. He's learning from Dean Smith. He's seeing how a center back could step into a coaching role. Obviously a smart kid, Penn State grad, got a great education. Who knows what the ceiling could be for Andrew Privet. I think we spent so much time talking about Adilson Milando because I think he'll have some transfer value. Some teams across the pond will be interested in Adilson. We don't speak that way about Andrew Privet because I'm not sure if that's there for him. But, man, Andrew Privet is like the poster child for a really strong MLS center back.
Mm-hmm.
He is. And it's really cool to see. And he's somebody that could play a long time for this club.
I mean, play Privet and win. That's really what it comes down to. It's always been play Privet and win. It seems like whenever he's in the lineup, the team just looks more likely to win than when he's out of the lineup. That's just the fact of the fact. Some things go beyond stats. I think Charlotte FC can contend for the Shield with great mindset like that. It starts with this game against San Diego. And, Johnny, we hope Zaha's back. I want your thoughts on Zaha. Maybe sitting with the hurt finger. Hopefully he can come back from that. And then I'm gonna get a little trivia question. I prepped a little trivia question for you, Johnny, that you have no idea this is coming. And it's a trivia question for the TIFOs that are listening and watching along as well. So what do you think about Zaha coming back into a home side against an upstart expansion side? And then I'll hit you with this trivia after I get your thoughts.
I think the reason why Zaha had the surgery and didn't travel to Montreal was so that he could be available for the home matches against San Diego and New England. Like, that's just, have I talked to anybody at the club about that? No. That's just the way I'm reading the situation from the outside looking in. Even if he doesn't Zaha start, I would expect him to be dressed on the bench. I would. To be able to be brought on the pitch in case Charlotte FC needs him in the second half. But I would expect to see him on the pitch on Saturday for sure.
Yeah, I think no disrespect to Montreal, but that was not a match. And I know they say they take it week to week, but these guys are looking ahead and scouting and seeing.
No, Danny.
What's full disrespect. What's the wave to ride?
Full disrespect to Montreal.
All right. I forgot what show I was on. Fuck Montreal. Yeah.
You're the worst team in the league. We need to pick a week for our player to get surgery and miss out on. We're going to pick that one. It's full disrespect to Montreal.
Thank you. Thank you for saving me from making a half-assed milquetoast lukewarm opinion. I do appreciate that. We're going to end on a little game. We're going to end a game. Name that player, Johnny. Can you tell me who this player is for San Diego FC? Sat the bench their first three games. Then has come in and appeared, did not start in any of their last four games, but did appear in them and get some high ratings from SofaScore, as we're showing on the screen here. This is a player. Do you know who this player is first off? And then I'll give you some clues if you need them.
No, I definitely want some clues. Okay.
First clue, defender. Second clue. He is a former number one overall pick in the MLS Super Draft.
I think that you're speaking about a former Charlotte FC player who is currently on San Diego.
Yep.
I think that his last name starts with a D and ends with an O.
Hamadi Diop. Hamadi Diop, yes. The guy, he was always hurt. or he was playing with Crown Legacy. Remember, he came in. He was one of the few guys that was subbed in and subbed out by Latanzio, right? He was he got the rare like go in and then get hooked, which is the ultimate disrespect in soccer.
That's a total failure to launch for Diop here in Charlotte. Yeah. I'm glad that he's getting time with San Diego.
Yeah, he was loaned out to our sister city in Serbia, FC Kukcerici, and I totally botched that pronunciation. Forgive me. But
I'm just laughing about that we have a sister city in Serbia.
Yes, yeah. We've sent Carujo there. I think we sent Vinny Mello there, I think, right? So we sent Diop there on a loan last year, and then he was picked up in the expansion draft by San Diego, finding his way onto the pitch. Congrats, Amadi Diop. Very cool. Forever, hashtag forever the crown. We traded up to get him, if I'm not mistaken. So to get that number one overall.
Forever, I think forever the crown is like my least favorite bit that you have.
That's why I do it. That's why I do it for sure.
Oh man, I'm excited for Saturday. I hope Hamadi plays. I hope we get a chance to see him. It'd be great. No hard feelings at all. I wish him nothing but the best. It'd be really fun to see him. Now, you know. Do I want to beat him? Absolutely, for sure. But he'll have some motivation, and I wouldn't be surprised if he got the start, because I think managers like to do that, Danny. Managers really like to give players a start against their old squad. It's a nice motivational play. It's also a nice locker room thing to do. I think it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he got the start last game. So
what's that?
He subbed in at half last game for them, and he'd been subbing in like the 65th minute as a fullback. Defensive replacement, and then he's doing that halftime. So they're setting him up to maybe start for sure.
Cool. We talked about the supporter shield. We talked about MLS Cup. We're going to keep talking about that stuff, this on the show, because that's where Charlotte FC is in the standings. But I think let's just like end with the question that was posed. It was in the rundown. I don't think we like asked it directly. We kind of mentioned it last week, but. Do you think that it's real? Is there any sense of like trepidation or any nervousness that this is kind of like all smoke and mirrors, that this is going to all come crashing down? It's still early in the season. Is it real?
The answer to that to me is yes. That probably speaks a little bit to my personality and being like an optimist, because I do think it is a question. I do think that you're right to raise that question. There's the aspect of all the players keep saying, we're not even playing that good. We're not even playing that good, but look where we're at. We're not even playing that good, but look where we're at. Well, so which way is that going to go? Is your bad play going to catch up to you and you sink in the table, or is your play going to catch up to your performance in the table? And all of a sudden, you know, so that could go either way. That does go either way for teams that find themselves in this situation. I'm the optimist. I think it is real. I think that the standard of play has been good enough, but the consistency hasn't been there. So when the consistency raises, I think Charlotte should count themselves lucky in a few instances. We've seen there's this graph, you know, that shows like whether you're outperforming your expected points on the table or not. Charlotte's in the area of the graph where they're outperforming. They're getting more points than they quote unquote should based on analytics and underlying stats and things like that. But I'm going to believe until they give me reason not to believe, for sure.
Yeah. That I think that's right. And a loss at Montreal would have been a reason to be like, whoa, like that would have been like a serious what the hell just happened moment. Why can't we beat the worst team in the East right now on the road? So to me, passing that test, getting that road 3 points was like, okay. And you could see the way that Ashley Westwood acted at the full-time whistle. He was jacked up. He knew what the team was accomplishing in that moment and what it meant. So I think I think it's real, because even though we have heard some coach speak, right? I think it's real because of there's a few moments this year where the cat's been let out of the bag, like this one.
Hell yeah, we can challenge for a league title.
Right? Like there's a few there, and the key is like that's only a 2-second clip. Right? He let it slip. It was not like he like said it in jest, but Brandt said it. Mm-hmm. And Ashley Westwood there was a point this year where he talked about winning trophies.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's real, because there's no doubt in my mind that the players in that locker room are trying to win something. And they've built themselves a foundation to do that this year. So I'm excited to follow the story. I'm excited because it feels like that when I'm the, it feels like for the first time as a fan that going to the match on Saturday is bigger than the match itself. And the reason is we've always gone to these matches. We've had a great time. We've enjoyed Charlotte FC, but it's always been just about match day. It's never been about what does this match mean for the overall campaign? There's been a few times that has happened, trying to make the playoffs. But we've always been hey, let's try to make the playoffs.
Those don't come up till late in the season because we've been kind of just aimless and void in the early parts of seasons. Let's try to get points, but we don't really have an agenda that we're trying to advance.
Right. And 70% of the league makes the playoffs.
Well, now we're trying to get the shield. That damn shield.
Now it's when you go to the match on Saturday, it's the campaign is just right in front of you now. It's not just about playing San Diego and getting 3 points at home. It's about the campaign. And that's the one, if I were to be honest with you, the one thing about Charlotte FC that hasn't materialized for me as a fan yet, compared to other soccer that I watch, global soccer, Champions League soccer, Premier League soccer, Championship soccer, when it comes to promotion, relegation, Champions League spots, the reason why the Premier League is so good is because of the campaign, the overall experience that fans are having. Are we getting relegated? Are we making the Champions League places? Charlotte FC has just been about playing matches. There's been no overall big picture campaign to follow except for making the playoffs, like I said. So Saturday night to me is one of the most important matches in club history. Because you cannot lose to San Diego at home. You cannot let this inaugural team come into your place and get 3 points. You just can't do it. And if you want to win a championship, this is a match you've got to win. And that's my mindset going into Saturday night. And I have never had that before as a Charlotte FC fan.
I'm glad that you're getting it. I'm glad that we're getting it in year four.
I mean, are you getting it too? I mean, are you feeling
it?
Yeah,
I'm getting it for sure. Yeah, no doubt.
Are you feeling that there's more to this than just the 90 minutes?
Yeah. I mean, right now it's about 9-9. It's about how many wins can we rack up? It's about what would this be, our ninth straight home win, I think, if we were to get it. I think we have 8 straight home wins, if I'm not mistaken. So
the graphics speak for itself.
Forgive me if it's 7, but.
The graphic speaks for itself, Danny. It's you got to live in the moment. You got to live where you are. Mm-hmm.
We're at the top. Let's stay there.
Charlotte FC's at the top of the league. And Saturday night, it's about beating San Diego, but it's about remaining top of the league and staying in those top three positions.
Because you sink fast. If you don't get results, you sink fast.
That's correct. It's been a pleasure doing the show today, Danny. Loved chatting with you. I hope the fans enjoyed it as well. Had a good time talking about Charlotte FC, and I hope nobody else in Milanda's family's not too unhappy.
hey, we are the official podcast of players' parents, as we like to say. I want a quick shout out. I'm wearing my Independent shirt today, Johnny, because we have literally lessened our focus on the Independents on this show like we did the first couple years. We're very laser focused on Charlotte FC, but we still love the Independents. They're playing in the Open Cup tonight against NCFC, Dogwood Derby in the Open Cup, round 3. If they win, there's a chance that we might get the Queen City Derby. Potentially, you'd think there's a shot that the draw could give us Charlotte FC at Independence, I believe. So this game's out in Matthews, not at the American Legion. But if you want to go to it, it's Open Cup action.
And I, what I want to do is I want to shout out. I want to do a shout out as well. And I want to shout out you. Just so everybody knows, all I did was sit down and talk on this show today. Danny took care of everything. He's a producer extraordinaire. I've got to step up to the plate one of these weeks and make it happen. But thank you, Danny, for setting up the show brilliantly. As always, it's a pleasure to sit here and just chat footy with you and think about Charlotte FC. I can't wait to see some of the TIFOs this weekend. And one thing that we're going to have to do, Danny, I think maybe next week would be a good opportunity for this. Let's get some TIFOs questions involved in the show. Time to hear from the TIFOs.
Yeah.
Well, sounds really good. Until next time, it's Charlotte Soccer Show. I'm John Hayes. Follow us on social. Danny Brams is crushing it. Follow on our YouTube shorts. You can see all his work there as well on For the Crown Baby on X, on Blue Sky as well, on Instagram, Charlotte Soccer City. You know, it's one of those things, Danny. Sometimes you hit a groove, and not only is Charlotte FC hitting the groove, you've hit the groove as on this show. I mean, I hope to hear from our fans. Like, I'm on the show, I'm talking on the show, but at the same time, I'm a huge Charlotte FC fan, and I look at what you're doing and what you're bringing to the table with all these sound bites, these graphics, these highlights. Nobody else is doing this except for you. So thank you for doing this for me, but also for our fan base and for Charlotte FC supporters globally. Because you can watch Charlotte Soccer Show anywhere on YouTube, which is pretty fun.
Yeah. We've got viewers in Morocco. I just noticed on the latest time I checked the geography analytics. So there you go. We have a loyal fan following in Dublin, Ireland, too. I don't know who's doing that one. But thanks for that shout out, Johnny. Love the club. Love the community. Love you. Love the show. Love it all. And the next step, I think, is to upgrade. I need to upgrade my camera and light situation. Thanks for everyone for sticking with me through this dark age of all those scars. If I don't have those dark scarves blocking the light, then it's too damn bright. So we'll figure out a solution to make the YouTube even better. Make sure to subscribe, everybody, please. The number of subscribers is like my daily obsession. So stress off my plate, I guess.
Yeah, subscribe. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube page. If you're watching this and you're not subscribed, what are you doing? Subscribe to our YouTube page. But until next time, you can hear us say this at the end of the show every time. It's for the crown,
baby.